I'm very happy now to welcome photographer Victoria Sambunaris. She will be speaking this coming Thursday, the 11th of November, at Tipton Hall at 6 o'clock, sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute right here in Santa Fe. It's part of the Art Institute series, Elemental, Earth, Air, Fire, Water, Art as Environment. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for having me on your show.
So your photographs are of landscapes. They're landscape photographs, most of which show signs of human intervention of one kind or another. How and where did you start doing this work?
I have to attribute this to my background, because why landscape? Almost everyone I know photographs people, and there are no people in my photographs. But I go back to my childhood, and I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where industry was set against an agricultural landscape. It's the home of the Amish. And my parents were Greek immigrants, and they came to the United States in the 50s. And I grew up in a Greek neighborhood, working-class Greek neighborhood in Lancaster. And we used to take Sunday drives out to the countryside. And I have memories of those drives and seeing Lancaster, the landscape, going out to the country. And somehow that's filtered into my work, I have to say. And my father was an amateur photographer as well. So I think it has to come from all of that.
Some of the pictures that you take in are railroad subjects. There's dams, there's mines, there's cities. What attracts you? So you're out driving, you spend a lot of time in the car. How do you decide when you're going to stop and start working?
Well, early, I've been doing these trips for 10 years. So basically what I do is when I first started, I would just go out into the landscape. I would figure out the destination, some particular part of the country. But as time evolved, I became more project-oriented, and I'm looking at something more specific. But early on, my first trip was down on the Texas border, and I was looking at all the NAFTA industry. And I was interested in ideas of the American dream, and which is what brought my parents to this country, to grasp that and to instill it in their children. And so I was down looking at the maquiladoras in Laredo, looking at these minimal boxes on the landscape. And industry is part of, for me, industry, suburban landscapes, government campuses. It was all part of the American dream. It was a more literal idea of the American dream. And so that's where I began. And most recently, I've been back on the border looking at the landscape of the fence and areas that where the fence hasn't been built, like the Rio Grande area.
How does your parents' view of the American dream differ from yours?
Well, there were expectations in my life for what we were going to do. I mean, doctors, lawyers, and business people is what I think my parents had hoped, and that just wasn't really fitting into my agenda. And so photography was a passion that I had since I was 14. And I did my undergrad in business, but I just kept returning to photography. And it was the vehicle to get me out of a world that was being created for me. And it got me on the road, and it got me out into the country to discover place and to discover the country, which is so diverse. And which makes it so great, you know. And everyone has a story. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone got here from somewhere. And that's fascinating to me.
And yet there's no people in your photographs.
The people are in the background. They're what helps me get to place. Like when I come into a town, I start talking to people, and I hear their stories, And it's part of the project, but it's not what you see. And I want the viewer to see the photographs and form their own opinions and bring something of themselves to the work. And all the stories and the people, that's something that I hold on to for myself. It's funny, but on this trip, I've been videotaping people talking about the history of place, about their opinions, their backgrounds, and it's been really interesting. I'm not sure what I'll do with that, but maybe it's something I'll just keep for myself for referencing, but maybe I will end up doing something with it. I'm not sure.
Do you feel like your photographs tell a story? In other words, do they speak for themselves? Do you provide stories along with the photographs when you display them?
I don't. I feel like photojournalism does that. Photojournalism is revealing something to the world, and it's communicated, but I want the viewer to bring their own stories. No one can imagine the stories behind the photo, my own stories behind the photographs and what happens to get to this place. But I want you to get lost in them, in the way that you do maybe a painting, you know.
It's fun. Nobody can imagine, but it would be so interesting, I would think. I mean, having looked at your photographs just so far on the web, it seems like for each one, there's a background, and one would really love to know what happened and where you were and what they mean on some level other than what we can project onto it.
Yeah, the stories are good, I have to say. And I do tell the stories, and maybe that will come in a book or something down the line. There's a lot of information. I keep diaries and journals, and I do, in addition to, I shoot with a large format camera, big 5x7 camera, but I also carry with me a smaller medium format camera that they're more diaristic, they're looser, they're the towns that I'm in, some of the people that I meet. They tell the story. Maybe the video that I'm doing as well tells a little bit of the story. Maybe that will come later. But for now, this is what I want to give to the world.
One of your inspirations is the author John McPhee. Tell us how he influenced your work.
While I'm traveling, I'm trying to understand what I'm looking at. I'm not a geologist, and a lot of what I'm looking at is geology, a lot of mining operations. And I don't know how. I was reading some of his books, and I bought Annals of the Former World, and this was years back. And I kept that book in the car, and when I was driving through Nevada and trying to understand basin and range, he spelled it out in his books. And so I was always inspired by his work. And in some ways, he taught me to be more open, to tap into the culture of a place. And so I had this book in the car for many years. And eventually, I guess it was in 2007, I decided to tackle that book and try to make a body of work inspired particularly by that book, because he travels I-80 from New Jersey to San Francisco over the course of 20 years with geologists. And it's a great, great book. And so I thought, this has been such an important book to me. I think
And when you start doing that, when you start focusing on the geology of a place, for example, it's such a different thing than a kind of like romantic landscape type of photograph.
Yes, it is. But for instance, I started, one of the first places I stopped was in a coal mine in Pennsylvania. And I thought, why is there coal here? What happened here in geological time 360 million years ago? What did this landscape look like? And John McPhee spells it out in the book, but I'm imagining what this tropical landscape looked like, and now we have coal.
Right.
That fuels us. And then you can go, you can continue with that thought and think about how it literally fuels the city. It's our electricity. I mean, it goes on and on.
Victoria Sambonaros is a photographer, and she will be speaking this coming Thursday, the 11th of November, at Tipton Hall on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. It's at 6 o'clock, sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute, and it's part of the Art Institute's series called Elemental: Earth, Air, Fire, and Water, Art as Environment. We're so looking forward to seeing you here.
Thank you. I look forward to arriving in Santa Fe.
Thanks. Thanks for being with us. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.